Okay, we're up to Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin. We are continuing the discussion of Shevna. Yeshaya discovers Shevna digging a grave for himself. As we mentioned, symbolic of preparing his legacy. He realizes he's not going to live forever, and he wants that his name should be remembered forever in Yerushalayim as one of the great leaders. Yeshaya criticizes Shevna by revealing to him that in the name of Hashem that he's a fraud. He's a fake, he's a fraud, he's not the real thing, and his day will come where he will die. And this all was during the very difficult Kufa where Yerushalayim was threatened by Sancheriv. And as we learned many times, there was a disagreement among the people living in Yerushalayim how they should deal with the threat. Should they surrender and give taxes be loyal to Sancheriv and be allowed to live, or should they rebel? And it was very likely they would be conquered and go into exile and be killed. So Shevna was of the opinion that they should surrender. And seemingly he was telling the people that he's doing this for their sake, but the truth was he was doing this for his own benefit. He felt that he would ingratiate himself with... Maybe if you would turn it, because that would be feedback. It's pointing the other way. All the way, right. Because that way he won't jump back at me.
Okay.
Yeah. So Shevna wanted to surrender, and in fact we learned that he had more followers than Chizkio, and Hashem told Yeshaya, don't be fooled by this charismatic, influential person. He is making a big mistake, following the words of Chizkio. And here we have the exact words of how he will suffer. Hine Hashem mitaltelcha taltela gover. Hashem will cause you to move. He will cause you to shake, to move like a man. Now, simply this means it's a very difficult pasuk. We'll look over here in the Mitzudos David. Hine Hashem mitaltelcha ratzulama lochein yekmos shechashavta. It's not like you think that you're going to remain the Lefi Pshuta Shal Mikra. It's not like you're going to have a grave here in Yerushalayim. Hashem will remove you from Yerushalayim. You will not even have a burial. Besides the fact you're not going to be buried here among the kings, among the crypts, the royal crypts. Forget about that. You will not even be buried in this. You will not even have a burial period. You're going to be taken out to the field and be tossed around like an animal. Again, one more time, the words of the Mitzvot, it's David, Pasuk Zayin, Ratzlam Lochem, Kiyeh Kamo Shechashavta. It's not like you think that you're going to die and remain here and be buried in honor. Ki Hashem Yitalta, Hashem will move you, V'yigala Oyscha Mikan, V'yigla Oyscha Mikan, Hashem will cause you to move and exile you from this city. That's what the Pasuk here is telling us. Now there's an interesting Chazal say, this is Nogeh Halacha L'maisa, Taltelo Gover, the movement of a Gover, a man, not a woman. In Halacha, sometimes the disagreement between the man, let's say there's an ugly divorce, and there's a fight between the man and the woman, who gets to keep the house, who has to move out. So in Halacha, Chazal, in every case of course is different, you can't generalize, but there's a concept that it's more difficult for the man to move than a woman. A man, by nature, is settled in one location. It's difficult for him to uproot himself relative to a woman. A woman is lighter, so to speak, and she is more, it's easier for her to move around from one location to another location. Therefore, when everything else is equal, again, every situation is different, you can't generalize whatsoever, but when everything else is equal, Chazal will side with the man and allow the man to stay put and tell the woman, you move out and you travel somewhere, because it's much more difficult psychologically for a man to uproot himself from his environment than it is a woman. How does Chazal know that? Where does that come from? It comes from this pasuk. See, when Hashem is criticizing to Yeshaya, Shevna, and cursing him, and you're going to move, it's going to be a powerful movement. You're going to be uprooted from your roots. It's going to be a taltelo gover, the movement of a man, meaning it's going to hurt. It's not going to be simple. And then it says,
I'm not sure, but nowadays in separations and in divorces, in most cases, the man moves out.
Okay, right. I told you, you can't generalize, and there are many other factors, and in society, 100%. I'm just telling you what it says in Chazal. Absolutely.
It's the hefech,
you know. Absolutely. I'm aware. I'm very aware. I understand. It's a complicated world. No question about it. And there are many, many issues, and you can't generalize. But we should know that in Halacha there does exist. There's something which we cannot deny. This is in the Gemara. This is Chazal. It's Shulchan Aruch. That when everything else is equal, being equal, besides all the complications of modern-day society, Dina Malchus Adina, and all the other factors, there's such a concept that a man settles. A woman is light, has a lightness to her, which, relative to a man, it's not the same, of course, but that's important. Okay, listen. So, Hashem says, I will move you like a taltei l'gover. Next, the otecha oto. Now, these are two difficult words. These two words which are hard to translate. Simply means to fly. You're going to fly away like a bird. Hashem is going to pick you up and throw you into the air, and you'll fly away into the distance. That's and indeed that's what happened to him. As we'll see in the next pasuk, when he was captured by Sanherif, and he was thrown into the field like a ball, and he died a miserable death. Chazal also interpret these two words, to mean you'll be wrapped up, anatifa, a head covering, and it refers to tsaras, shevna. This during the time of the Nevi'im, there still existed tsaras, leprosy, not the physical leprosy, the spiritual leprosy of Parshas Mitzora, and he was stricken with tsaras. And the rule is, a person that's tsaras michutz l'machane moishaver has to distance himself from civilization, chutz l'gimel machanos, and has to cover his head like a mourner. Okay, this is not done today. Today mourners don't cover their head. Atifa Sarosh, but in ancient times, it's not really clear why today it's not done, but in ancient times, that was the halacha of a mourner. A mourner would cover his head, and a person who was had tsaras has the same din like a person that's mourning has to cover his head. So here we are alluding to the fact that he will be smitten with tsaras, and he will be forced to go into exile voluntarily, and the otcha ato, you will cover your head with a covering. Pasuk Yud Ches, Tsanof Yitz Nofcha Tsinefa. Three words which mean the same thing, which means to twirl. Tzadi Nun Pei, the Sharish means to twirl, to spin. And here we're using it in three different forms, which all mean the same thing. It's a poetic expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spin you, will twirl you, Kadur, like a ball, Al Eretz Rachavas Yodam, upon open wide land. Open wide land. When you have a ball, the child plays with a ball and he throws the ball. Really, the ball is perfectly round. The ball just goes. It goes and goes and goes. So if you are enclosed in an area, if there are walls on all four sides, there's only that far the ball can go. The ball is going to stop somewhere. When the child throws the ball on a wide open land where there are no impediments, the ball just goes and goes and turns and spins in every single direction, and that's exactly what's going to happen to Shevna, as Chazal explained that when he went to surrender to Sanherif, he came out with an entourage, all of the Chashuvim. He was a very influential person. He had many distinguished people that followed him, and they all left the walls of Yerushalayim, and they opened up the gates for him, and miraculously a Malach came and shut the gate immediately after Shevna himself left, and he was there outside. The gate was stuck. And the only one that was outside the gate walls was Shevna. And everyone else was inside. And Sanherib and his army that were waiting to receive him, to receive the surrender, they saw what's going on. Just you? Just Shevna? Where is the cabinet? Where are all the king's officers? Where are all the politicians and the officials? He said they got stuck inside. They said you're a liar. There's no such thing with just the one person coming to surrender on behalf of the entire city. You're a liar, you're a fraud, and we're going to kill you. They took him and they drilled holes in his heels. They tied his feet to the tails of horses, and they dragged him in a wide open land, and his body would twist and turn, and he was brutally murdered in this way in punishment for his arrogance. And that's what it's over here, is Sanofi Yitz Nofcha Tsinefa. You'll be twirled here and there in all different directions, Kadur, like a ball that is thrown Al Eretz Rachavas. You live upon wide open land. Shama Samus, there you will drive a Shama Markvos Kudachan. There you'll get what you always wanted. You'll get your chariots, your glorious chariots. This is a mocking expression. He yearned for honor. When he would see Chizkiyahu travel in the limousine, the Beast. Say the limousine in the United States is called the Beast. Ever see the limousine? Ever see a documentary? That it's a very expensive limousine. It's amazing what that limousine can do. But when he saw this beautiful chariot, the beautiful chariot of Sanherib, he was jealous. I want that for myself. I also want to ride in such a chariot. So here is your chariot. Your chariot is holes being drilled into your heels and being dragged by the tails of horses. That's now going to be your glorious chariot for your arrogance and your deception. The Shema and Marcos, they will be your chariots of Kivodech of honor. Kilon, the disgrace. Be why? Because you are nothing more than a disgrace based on the Nech of the house of your master. You rebelled. You secretly rebelled against your master, the king Chizkiyah, that was so kind and gracious to you to appoint you to such a high position. And look how you have betrayed him by rebelling against him. Therefore, you're going to get what you deserve. Pasuk Yutes. Vahadaf ticha, you will be pushed. Hashem will push you mimatzovecha, from your station, your platform. You, this is a symbolic term. You are a high position. You have power. You'll be pushed off your platform. Umimaamodcha, and from your standing, your station. Another expression of a platform. From your station, yeher secha, you will be demolished. Horace, to be and here it means you'll be pushed off. You'll be pushed off you'll be stripped of your royal position. Pasuk Chaf v'hoya. What's going to happen on that day when you are removed from your position, when you are killed, when you have tzaras and you're executed by Sanherib v'hoya? But on that day, the karasi la'avdi le'Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. Your replacement will be this great tzaddik Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. I don't know how much we know about him, but his father Chilkiyah was at one point a Kohen Gadol. And it appears that Shevna was also a Kohen Gadol. But for some reason, when Chilkiyahu died, or his term came to an end, for some reason, normally the child was considered the child of the Kohen Gadol. I mean, it wasn't always like that. That's not necessarily the rule. All the situation depends. By a melech, it goes down to the child. By the Kohen Gadol, does not necessarily go down to the child, but many times it did go down to the child. The child was Roy, but in this case, when Chilkiyah, when his term came to an end, it did not go to his son Eliakim for whatever reason. We do not know why. However, now it went to Shevna. However, now that Shevna was removed from his position, it now was restored. It now was restored to this great man, Eliakim, who is the son of the previous Kohen Gadol, Chilkiyahu. V'hilbashtiv kuton techa. I will dress this person, Eliakim, with your tunic, with your cloak. V'avnetcha, and with your belt, the belt that you wore, achas kenu, I will strengthen your replacement, Eliakim, umem shaltecha, and your rulership, your kingship, your power. He wasn't the king, of course, but the power, the authority that you had in the house of Chizkiyahu, etein biyado, will be given to this person, Chilkiyahu. V'haya, and the Yeshayah here says the name of Hashem, and he will be a real leader. He will be sincere, v'haya, and he will be le'ov, as a father, meaning a person that has compassion upon the people of Yerushalayim, le'yoshev Yerushalayim, le'veis Yehuda, people of Yerushalayim, and the people in Yehuda. V'nosati maftech beis David al shechma, will put the key of David on his shoulder. This was symbolic. The leader, like today you have a lapel, or you have a soul, let's say today in the army, commander, a colonel, or a general, they have on their shoulder stripes. So this goes back to the time. This idea, it's not a modern idea. I mean, I'm sure you have to do some research when these became the custom among the military, how many hundreds of years it goes back. But you see, such a thing goes back to ancient times. This thing over here, almost more than 2,000 years ago, where they had such a thing where they wore keys or a symbolic key upon their shoulder to show their power. You see those stripes, this means you have respect. This is the top authority. The Nosatia will put Mafteach based David al Shechmo, the key of David upon his shoulder, upon Eliakim. Ufosach ve'ein soger. When he opens a discussion, when he opens something, when he gives permission, if he gives approval of something, he opens, there's a question, and he says yes. The ein soger, no one has the authority to say no. And the sogar, when he says no, when he closes an issue, the ein posach, there is no one in government that has the authority to veto his decision to open up the issue once again. Now this is a very beautiful pasuk. Pasuk of Gimel. Usikativ yoseid bimakom ne'emon. And I will insert, I will establish a yoseid as a peg in a faithful place. The faithful place here refers to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Yoseid. Well, Rashi really translates a little bit differently. Yoseid. Let's go over here. Let's look over here in the Rashi. Ve'am Nine Akarmel. I will appoint him. I will referring to Eliakim. Usakativ means I will thrust. I will insert. But here in the symbolic interpretation, it means I will appoint Akarmel. Akarmel means Omar Kol, a officer, a governor, a mayor, a leader, everything. Omar Kol, he says everything, he makes every decision. Mehemon, Meshamesh, that will serve Ba'asar in his Kayam, in a place that is Kayam will last forever. So B'makom Nehemon, that means in a place that is faithful, he will be here forever. This new appointee, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, will be inserted into a setting which he will remain. His position will not come out of the wall. Just like when one thrusts a peg into a wall. So sometimes the wall, the way it's thrust into the wall is not ideal, and over time, the peg falls out. The environment, the setting, is not correct. It's not the case here. This peg, this nail that has been inserted into the wall, it's a good match. It's thrust, it's nemon. It is firm. Same thing, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu's position will remain forever. It's nemon, it is firm. His greatness, his gedula, his authority will go down to his children, to his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. It's a mokoyim nemon, it's faithful. That is how the Targum Yonasan nemon, Lashon Kiyum, the Targum, now this tough year with Targum Yonasan. Much of the Rashi is based upon Targum Yonasan. Okay, we just gloss over that, but that's a very important thing to note. A lot of the new Sfarim today, who just print the Yeshaya, don't print the Targum. They just print the Rashi. And if you're lucky, they'll print Mitzudas David and Mitzudas Sion. But it's a very important one. The basic Parshanim is the Targum. The Targum is really a very basic Pshat. Unfortunately, we're not so familiar with Targum, so it's the depth and the profundity of what the Targum says is lost on us many times. But Rashi very often quotes from Targum Yonasan. So when he's teaching here, Ne'amon means that it will last. His appointment, as his authority, will last forever. However, he goes on, Ne'amon loshen kiyum, mekom shu ne'amon l'nishonim olav. It's faithful for the things that lean upon this peg. In other words, if you put on this peg, you want to hang on this peg a knapsack. You want to hang on this peg something very valuable. You don't want this thing to fall down. So you're putting your faith. It's a very interesting concept. When you put something on the peg, you're hanging, let's say you're hanging some vase. The vase worth $1 million. And if this vase falls off the peg and crashes on the floor, $1 million vase is shattered, it's gone forever. So when you hang the vase on that peg, you're having a lot of faith. What are you having faith in? You're having faith not in the peg. The peg is good. The peg is metal. It's strong. The peg is good. It's that it's nemon in its setting. It's thrust into the wall correctly, well, strong, firm, that it will not falter, will not come out. So Klal Yisrael is relying. They are priceless. They're not just worth $1 million. Their value of Klal Yisrael is priceless. They are hanging upon Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu because he is their leader. He is their guide. He is the supervisor. He is in charge. Every decision that's made in Yerushalayim is through his understanding. If he is not settled well, if he is not faithful, if he is not loyal to Klal Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael is in a lot of jeopardy. Klal Yisrael can suffer greatly. So here the pasuk emphasizes that it's a good shidduch. Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu is nemon. He is an ish nemon. His values, his hashkafa, his yirah shamayim is on the mark. and it's equivalent to the peg being well inserted into the wall. And now when Klal Yisrael weighs upon this peg, they are in good hands, they are safe and secure. It's a very beautiful idea to compare this to compare this to a Yosed Ne'eman. Kilo Yamut Ne'eman Lashon Ki Mokim Shu Ne'eman L'Nishan Malav Kilo Yamut Soris Samikra. So here the Rash says take the Pasuk and read it backwards. It's always a very important key. We always discuss this idea that when you read Pesukim in Nevi'im Acharonim, very often you have to translate the words backwards. And then when you translate it backwards, or inside out, middle first, then back and then front, or some type of combination, that's the only way you really can get a good translation, because it's not like English where it's linear, where you just go straight. It's an expression which has to be interpreted in going back and forth, and therefore we read the pasuk backwards. So how do we read it? Utekativ yosed ne'eman, you shall insert a yosed ne'eman b'makom in its place, a peg that is ne'eman b'makom in its proper place. Okay, that's the idea. So let's go back to the pasuk. Chav Gimel Usikativ Yosef, you shall insert a peg b'makom ne'eman. And Rashi says really means Yosef ne'eman b'makom in its place. V'chayo l'chisei chavod, and he Eliakim ben Chilkiah will be as a throne of honor. L'veis Aviv, for his father, he will restore the honor to his father Chilkiah. People wonder what happened to Chilkiah. Why didn't his son take over for him? So it's a pegima in the honor of his father. Now that finally Eliakim's time has come, he has been restored to his position of honor. Once again, the honor of his father has been restored. Pasuk of Dal v'Salu Olav, and will rely upon him, will hang upon him. Kol Kivod Beis Aviv, upon him will rely. All of his descendants will rely upon him. In other words, anytime one of his children or grandchildren does something, they will attribute their success to their father and grandfather, the great and holy Eliakim. Who is this? Hatze'et So'im. Tse'et means the offspring. Now here we have a word that does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh, and unfortunately they struggle to translate the word. V'hatzefios. What in the world does this word mean? It's a very unusual word. So some want to learn the word Hatzefios means the grandchildren. The tzet, so it means the children. And the tzifios means the children of the children. Or if you want to go learn that tzet, so it means the children and the grandchildren. So then you just go down one generation more, or two generations more, means lo'olam v'ed. You have every day in davening. What are we saying in davening? We say in Ezras, Alav Oseinu, V'oleinu, V'albonenu, V'aldoroseinu, V'alkol doros, doroseinu, ad olam. So it means go, keep on going, Baneinu and Doroseinu and all the generations. So it means keep on going down. The Hatzifios is a continuation in the line, the Shalshelis Hadoros of the Tse'et Soim. That's one interpretation. And Nusach Sfar says, it's the same idea. Instead of saying Vitzetzoim, that's the first level. The next level of Vitzetzoim is the Hatzefios. That's one interpretation, an unusual word. We don't normally find that word. We don't find such a word elsewhere in Tanakh. Other Mekarshim wanted to say something which is very interesting, and I don't know where they get this from, but Sefios means the female descendants. Not only the Tzetzoim technically means the male. Now, of course, male, when you use a male in the plural, it can refer to females as well. But here the pasuk is breaking it up into two parts. That the sons, all of the male sons, all of the female children, the female, the Hatzifios, is like the feminine equivalent of Tse'etzoim. So they also will receive honor and gedula in this world. And when people observe the greatness of these women and these men, they will say it must be, it comes from their great illustrious father, grandfather, great-grandfather, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. He is the Yosed Ne'eman. Mikli v'atzifios kol klei hakatan So therefore, again, one more time, Pasuk of Dalet, the Tzolov will hang upon him, call the entire honor base of his father, Hatzeetzoim v'hatzefios, call Klei HaKotan, all of the, what are we referring to? All of the small utensils to the large utensils. Now, what are the small utensils? Miklei Hoagonos, from the bowls. An agon is a basin. It's a bowl which was simply used to collect blood. When an animal was slaughtered, there was an agan, there was a mizrak. An agan is another word for a mizrak, is a basin which was put by the neck of the animal to collect the blood. The ad until called klei hanevalim, those are the lyres, some type of harp or musical instrument. There are many interpretations. We don't really know precisely what all these musical instruments are. And it's symbolic. So here the pasuk is saying that upon him, upon the zechus and the merit of Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, all of his children, his descendants, his grandchildren and great grandchildren, from even all the way down to the smallest utensils. What are the smallest utensils? Bowls and lyres. Now that's symbolic for different types of people. Different types. There are some people that are just a mashal. All different. Every human being is called a kli. A human being is the ultimate kli sharis. A man is made from kineki choymer biyad hayoitzer. A human being is clay. A person was made from ofer min ha'adama, with earth. A human being is a utensil. So there are different types of utensils in this world. There are bowls and there are musical instruments. All of his descendants will attribute their success to his honor. Other farshim learned that this is a code for kohanim and levim. In other words, some of his children, they married levim as well. And the ha'agonos refers to the bowls which are used to mekabel the dam. Because who is mekabel the dam of a carbon? A kohen. Shchita kesher bezar. Shchita technically can be done by a Yisrael. But mekabel of elich, you need a kohen. So the agonos refers to his descendants who are kohanim. And the al-kol klei hanevalim, that refers to the musical instruments, refers to the levim who were to play the musical instruments. So he'll have many descendants. He'll have descendants that are kohanim, he'll have descendants that are levim, and they will be successful, and they will attribute their success to their illustrious grandfather, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. Pasuk Chof Hey. There now, the pasuk here is a very difficult pasuk. Pasuk over here, the last couple of pasukim that we mentioned, we discussed Shevna, and Shevna suddenly was dismissed. He had got saras, and then he tried to surrender, and he was killed by Sanherif. He was replaced with this great illustrious person, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, and he took over, and now we talk about all of his children. And now all of a sudden the pasuk says that there's going to come a time when this Yosef, this peg that was Neman, this faithful Yosef Ne'emana, this faithful peg, Bayamahu Num Hashem Tzavakos Tamush Hayosef Hatakua Bimokom Ne'eman. It's going to happen on that day, that this peg, all of a sudden, is tamush, is going to fall out of its socket, fall out of its setting. Bayam on that day. Now, what's Bayam? Who are referring to? Simply referring. Well, let's listen to the whole pasuk verse, then we'll explain two different approaches to understand the pasuk. On that day, it will tamush, it will be removed. Hayosed hatukua, that has been inserted. Bimokom neman, in a place that is neman. Vinig de'o, it will be cut down. Vinafla, and it will fall. The nichras hamasa, and the burden, the load that has been suspended upon this peg will be cut. Asher leha ki Hashem diber. So says Hashem. Now, what does this mean? So some of Hashem learned that this pasuk is going back on Shevna. But now, describing Shevna's replacement. Who is Shevna's replacement? Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. He is the new Yosef, the new peg that's Tekua. And he's replacing Shevna, the old one. So now when Hashem decides to replace Shevna with Eliakim, Shevna is going to be pulled out. And that's what the pasuk here. The pasuk here by Yomahu asks, the after one is going back to the Churban of Shevna. Shevna was also a Yosef. That was Tekua. Was supposed to be in the Makom Neman. He was not in Makom Neman. That's why Hashem was Tomosh HaYosef. Pulled out the peg and replaced him with Eliakim. That's one approach. But it doesn't really fit well with the flow of Zukim, because the only one the Pasuk explicitly called the Yosef HaTekua B'Makom Neman was Eliakim and not Shevna. So other Mepharshim want to learn, we think it flows better, that this is really going back on the, you know, we're losing, you have to, can't lose the big picture of this parak. This is a hard parak of Beis is the chazon, the masa of, what was the chazon, if God, masa geichi zoyom. It was a vision, revision of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This was a vision. Yeshaya here is standing. It's going to happen more than 100 years into the future. People can't even imagine that the Churban will happen, and it's not imminent. It's 100 years from now, and it will be destroyed by a nation which don't even heard of. Babel, who's Babel? Babel didn't even exist at this point in time. We're just a bunch of barbarians, some people roaming around the earth. They're going to become a nation. These people, they're going to turn into someone, the ancient Kastim no longer existed. It was like a new nation to begin with, just came out of nowhere. Even though we have the Kastim of Amram Avinu and Babel, that nation was ceased to exist. This is like a new nation which took on their name. What? Yeshaya? Yeah, Yeshaya has Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Nevuah is all about. He's telling us events that are going to occur way into the future. And he sees Masa Gei Chizayom, the Valley of Vision, referring to Yerushalayim, the source of all prophecy. He's describing the Churban. And he describes in very great detail what's going to happen, how these young Kohanim, they're going to go to the rooftops, and they're going to throw their keys to heaven, and their hands are going to come out and take the keys. As we said, the drush is, Mibnei Hayot Shenashtalcha B'mikdashenu, we can't do the Avodah because the Yod, Hashem's hand, the drush, Hashem's hand came and retrieved the keys. And then all of a sudden, we go to an event during the lifetime, in the middle of this vision, we shift and we discussed an event in the lifetime of Yeshayahu of Shevna. Shevna lived in the same lifetime as Yeshayahu during the lifetime during the time of Chizkiyahu. And all of a sudden, he's telling us about Shevna. Shevna was a traitor and he was replaced with Eliakim. We're going off on a tangent. But now we're returning to the Gei Chizayon. We're returning to the very beginning. The very beginning, this is a very beautiful idea. We'll put all this together. If we go back to the very beginning of the Nevuah, if we go back to the beginning of the Pasuk. Pasuk Aleph of this Nevuah. Okay, I'm losing. I'm getting confused with all the Prakim. Pasuk Aleph. Koyamash. Where am I? Sorry. Perichov Beis. As we start that, this we're right now holding the last. Let's not lose sight. Geichizer. Right now holding Pasuk Chafei. Pasuk Chafei is a very strange pasuk. It's all I'm talking about that this beautiful peg is going to just come crashing in. Go back to Pasuk Aleph. Maso Geichi Zoyon. Maloch Eifo Ki Oliso Kulach Ligagos. What are you all doing here that you have all gone to the roof, to the rooftops? And we explain according to the Medrash that this refers to the time of the Churban. The Kohanim and the Levim, they went to the rooftops and took out their keys. And they threw their keys into heaven and said, Ribbono shel Olam, we have not been loyal custodians. We see you want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The enemy is here. They're going to destroy it. Here are the keys. And they jumped off the roof into their death. And they fell into the fire below. That's the Medrash. I told you before, the Drush, that's what it means in the Pasuk. The very last Pasuk is going back. Who were these Kohanim and Levim that went to the rooftops that Yeshaya here sees 100 years in advance would give up their lives and throw the keys to heaven? They were the descendants of Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu. Who was Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu? He was the replacement of Shevna. And now Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu was the Yosed Ne'emana. He was the faithful peg. But unfortunately, that's all part of the Masa Geichi Zayon, the Churban is here. And all of the descendants of Eliakim and Chilkiyahu, all the Klal Yisrael, all of the Tzadikim who have put their weight on this peg, it's now come to an end. Because the Churban is here. And this peg now, at this moment in time, has been pulled out. And all of his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they're dying in the Churban. So this is coming full swing. Pasuk Chaf Hei is coming full swing back to Pasuk Aleph. And in order to get to Pasuk Chaf Hei, we had to take a detour and describe what happened. There's going to be a Churban. Well, let's give you some background. There was a person, Shevna. He was a phony. He was a fraud. He was replaced by a very great Tzaddik Eliakim. And he had for 100 years children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who were Tzaddikim. They were the loyal custodians. But unfortunately, Pasuk Chafei says, Vayomu on that day. What day? The day of Pasuk Aleph, of Masa Gechi Zion Malach Efo Kielitsa Kulach Lagagagos. Vayomu Ahunum Hashem Tzvokos Tomush Hayosei. This peg, Hatakua, Mimakom Ne'eman, referring to Chilkiyahu and all of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, V'nigda'ah, it's going to be cut down. The nafla, the nichras, hamasa she'alecha, the children, the grandchildren, they're going to go and fall into the fire, to one of the keys. Ki alecha ki Hashem diber. So says Hashem. So it's a very beautiful interpretation, a very sad event, but it's very beautiful how it comes full swing, pasuk hafei back to pasuk out. And by the way, this is off the record. Someone once, I don't know if this is true, I don't know anything about diktuk, unfortunately. Even though I've spent a lot of time studying, but I don't know, didn't get very far in understanding too much. But there's a very famous paper called the Yosed Ne'eman. Can we call it the Ated? The Ated. So it's the Ated Yosed. It's in Hebrew. Okay, we call it the Ated because it started. The Ated, and it's the Yosed Ne'eman. So someone once said to me, it should really be all, it comes from this pasuk. The Yosed Ne'eman comes from this pasuk, but he told me that Yosed. Inanimate objects, it's a whole question. It's Lashon Zohar and Lashon Nekev. We had a whole discussion. Tabazo, Tabazu. Okay, so is a Yosed? Is a Yosed feminine or is it masculine?
Definitely so masculine.
What?
The philosophy of the paper.
Very good. Excellent. But L'chora, Yosed should be feminine.
Yes, because you say
Yosei, what? It should be feminine. So it should be Yosei Ne'emono, not Yosei Ne'emon. Ne'emon. And so why then do they call the Yosei Ne'emon? I have to compete with the people who made the paper. It's an Israeli paper. It came to America about 20 years ago. They bought the rights to use the name in America. It has nothing to do with the Israeli paper. But maybe it does some degree, but it should really, they take it from the pasuk, because the pasuk says, Yosei Hatakua. Bimakom ne'eman. Ne'eman modifies makom. Makom is zocher. Mm-hmm. So male, it's ne'eman. But the word yosed is feminine.
Wait, makom, and that, don't we say makomos?
Makomos, yeah, that's right.
You can do both ways. Makomos. You can makomos. Mm-hmm.
That's feminine.
Okay, I don't know. Makom.
Same thing for
yosed. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. But l'chora, it's yosed hatukua. Tukua is feminine. Hatukua. There's a hair at the end. So it should be, the reason why it's ne'mon is b'makom, ne'mon is going on makom, so it should be yosel ne'mon. A very big Baal Medakti told me this, and I just didn't pay attention to him, but now that I'm learning this, he said, that's the way the world goes. Okay, I just bring this to your attention. The Medaktikim, when you speak to your Medaktikim, you can have what to talk about and discuss the issue, is yosel Zohar was in the Keva, and Rashi here says, Soris Hamikra, read the Pasuk, Yosed. Well, Rashi is telling us the order of the words, the Pasuk, not necessarily going in the correct grammatical form, but the word Ne'eman is associated with the word Yosed, but yet in the way it's written in the Pasuk, it's written after the word Makom, but the word Yosed L'chor is a feminine word because it's Hatakua. If you want to just take those two words together, you should call it Yosed Ne'emanah. Interesting. I don't know. I'm just giving you something to think about, something to discuss. Next time you invite someone over who's an expert on Bittur, you ever meet some of those people?
Yeah.
So you have what to discuss with them. Take out this pasuk, and besides the nice drush of how the beautiful interpretation of pasuk chafei is full swing back to pasuk aleph, besides that, you can talk about the grammar of your Yosed Ne'eman.